Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
I want you all to get out your Bibles, and that can be your cell phone or your physical Bible or whatever you've got on you. And we are turning again to the New Testament, to the book of Matthew. We have been talking this month about going from fishermen to fishers of men. And that refers to this story when God called some of his disciples and they were fishermen. And he said, listen, guys, you're no longer going to be fishermen. You're going to be fishers of men. You're going to be catching men. You're going to be catching people now. I'm sending you out to find the lost people and to catch them. And so even though they weren't trained scholars, they weren't trained pastors, they weren't trained anything other than fishermen, he was going to take those guys and essentially make them pastors. And so he grabbed them and he said, I'm going to take you from where you are in the middle of your profession, that having no experience with this stuff ever before, and I'm going to make you the leaders of this movement, and I'm going to send you out into the world with such power and authority that you're going to start bringing people to Christ. Well, that's what we've been talking about, and we've been talking about kind of how Jesus did that and some of the elements that he led the disciples through. And there's a passage much later in the story, right before Jesus is betrayed and crucified, where he gives another command. He presents another call to the disciples. And so Matthew chapter 26 is where we are. Matthew 26, going about halfway through the chapter, I think it's a really long chapter. Matthew 26, starting in verse 41. Matthew 26, verse 41. So they've had the Last Supper. They've gone to this garden. Jesus is there with his disciples. And he's just feeling super overwhelmed. And so he grabs his disciples and he grabs a few of them. And this is what he says. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. And when he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. All right, folks. Confession time. How many of you have fallen asleep while praying? How many of you ever prayed without falling asleep? You guys ever had this, like, oh, I'm going to say my prayers at the end of the day, and you're kind of laying in bed and you're praying, and then all of a sudden it's morning? Or maybe you're like, oh no, I gotta. You wake up early, Maybe you're one of these people that can wake up early and you start doing your devotions and you're falling asleep reading your Bible, and then you're praying and you're falling asleep praying, and then your kid walks up to you and slaps you or something, right? And like, see, the problem is they tell you that you've got to close your eyes while you're praying, right? And you're trying to focus and be peaceful, and so you're there and you're closing your eyes and you're like, It's very easy to fall asleep when you're praying, isn't it? And Jesus tells his disciples, you got to pray with me. But they fall asleep. Is this situation just a matter of, you know what, is Jesus just saying, you know what, as humans, we get tired. As humans, we have physical bodies and we get tired. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Is he just saying, come on, guys, you've just got to work harder at this, at staying awake? Whether that's you set somebody up to slap you every few seconds, or you've got to play loud music, or you've got to walk around while you're praying, or you've got to just pray with your eyes open, whatever it is that what this is about? Is he just saying, you have a weak flesh, you guys are physically tired, and I want you to work harder at this prayer thing? Is that what this is all about? I'll be honest, I think that's an element of it. But if you dig a little bit deeper here, you find out that there's a little bit more going on. Earlier in that passage, it says that Jesus took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And Jesus said to those disciples, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. In Luke's gospel, chapter 22, verse 45, he adds this. He says, when Jesus rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. I think there is an element of the disciples were physically tired, they were worn out, they were weary, they're sitting in this, they just had a big meal, and they're sitting in this peaceful place, and they're trying to pray, and they're just physically falling asleep. I think that's an element of it. But we see that there's more here, and that they are seeing Jesus, this great man who has been able to conquer everything, been able to do everything, and has never been defeated by anything. And they're looking at their leader, and they see him all of a sudden become morose, overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. They look at this guy who is this great champion, and all of a sudden it seems like he feels defeated. And I think there's some of that emotion gets translated, and the disciples are looking at Jesus and going, man, if he feels like he's losing, then what does that mean for us? Are we losing? Have we lost? Are we overwhelmed? What is going on with Jesus? Is this because they didn't quite understand? We know from other passages that they didn't quite understand that Jesus was going to get betrayed and he was going to die and he was going to rise again. They didn't quite understand that. They still thought that they were into a military victory. That they were somehow going to mount this rebellion against the Romans, and they were going to take their country back by force. And all of a sudden, Jesus is depressed. And they're processing that. And they're feeling overwhelmed, and they're feeling sorrowful, and they're feeling just distraught. And that emotion takes over, and it just tears them down, and they're beat. Now, when we enter into emotional stages and emotional phases like that, typically we have one of two, or maybe sometimes both, responses, with the fight or flight response. We either enter panic mode and we start doing all kinds of really foolish, dumb things, like lashing out, getting very violent, getting very loud, getting very angry, just pushing hard, and like panicky, dumb decisions, snap, jerk decisions. Or we enter into this place where we just kind of curl up into a ball and hide and say, if I cover my head with the blanket, then the monsters can't see me. And we get into those phases, and what we see here with the disciples at this moment is we see them hiding, but later on when the betrayer comes, actually one of the disciples takes out a sword and lashes out and attacks one of the people. And so we see both of these panic responses in this story, and what they are feeling, what I think that shows us, is they feel defeated. They feel defeated, they feel like they're losing, they're about to lose, maybe they feel like they have lost, they're looking at Jesus and they're like, man, if he is acting like this, then we are totally sunk, maybe we've made the wrong decision, whatever it is, but they are overwhelmed with sorrow, and so they give up. They either start to panic and do rash things, or they panic and they hide, and they give up. But Jesus gave one very, very simple and clear instruction to his disciples, because he knew what they were facing, he knew what he was facing, and he says very clearly, pray with me. Stay awake and pray with me so that you will not fall into temptation. Can you imagine your kid being lost? Your kid being lost, and you go, oh, I'm just going to go take a nap. You get a phone call from your spouse saying, I was just in a car accident, and you go, okay. And then you go and you lay down and you have a nap. Does that feel reasonable to you? Why does that feel so awkward? Why does that feel so wrong? It's a wrong response. You should be active, because there is a crisis situation happening and there is something for you to do. It is not time to panic, and it's not time to give up and just say, well, they've been in a car accident, I guess I'll start looking for a new one. Oh, the kid's lost. Well, I guess we can try to have another one to replace him. No. You're in the crisis situation. You're at the meaningful, central part of this trial. And it is not time to panic, and it's not time to give up. It's not time to hide. It is time to stay focused and stay in the fight. Can you imagine being in a boxing match and you're in the middle of the fight, and maybe you're not the guy that's in the middle of the fight. Maybe you're not the boxer, but maybe you're the coach. Can you imagine seeing the person that you've been training in the middle of their fight, and you're the coach, and you just go, well, you're having a hard time. You're in the middle of it. I'm just going to go over here, and I'm just going to take a little siesta. Folks, the middle of the fight is not the time to fall asleep. The middle of the fight is not the time to fall asleep. That is what is happening here. It is not just a lesson about how you need to be better disciplined at staying awake during your prayer time and you need to be praying more often. He's saying, guys, I am in the middle of the fight. This is the crisis moment. This is a critical moment here in the work that's going to happen here. For me and for you. It is the middle of the fight. It is a hard, probably the hardest part of this fight. And you are overwhelmed and you're feeling beat. And it is not the time to give up. It is not the time to panic. It is not the time to fall asleep. You need to stay awake. You need to pray. You need to pray. And prayer is one of those incredible things where Jesus teaches a lot about it and the Word of God teaches a lot about it. And I think it's a lot like a hose. If any of you have kids or have had kids, you know the incredible frustration of turning the hose on and then giving the kid the squirter. And they're taking it, and you're like, don't spray me. Don't spray your little sister. Don't spray into the car. All of which have happened in the past 2 days for me. No, maybe I don't think they've squirted me. But they definitely sprayed in the car and their sister. And what do you do? What do you do in that situation? You go and you turn the hose off. They're still able to have the handle and squirt, but it doesn't do anything, right? Prayer is kind of like you've got the handle and you've got the end of it, and you can squirt it where you want, but God is the faucet. He's the one that provides the water. And if the water's there, then there's power and the water comes flowing. And if he's not there when we pray about it and he's not in it, then our prayers don't do anything. It's just kind of annoying. Prayer isn't about us manipulating God. Prayer isn't about us getting God to do something that he doesn't want to do. Prayer isn't about our own power or our own authority. But somehow God has given us a role, a part to play in this spiritual war, and he has given us some sort of authority. And when he is pouring himself out and the faucet is on and the water is there and the pressure is there and he is ready to pour himself out and we go and we pray, it's like all of a sudden we turn on our end of the hose and the power starts flowing. And he's saying to the disciples, the middle of the fight is not the time to put the hose down. It's not the time to fall asleep. Now is the time that you need to be in prayer. And there is power behind that. The faucet is turned on. You have a part to play. If you want to have victory over the sin in your life, if you want to see victory in your family, if you want to see your kids follow God, if you want to see your grandkids commit their lives to Christ, if you want to see your finances change so that you're not constantly overwhelmed by the anxiety and the fear that comes with the economy, if you want to see our community change so it's not just anger and hatred and gossip and bitterness, if you want to see your life change so that addiction does not have power over you and your marriage is actually able to deal with conflict and work through things and become stronger, if you want to make sure that your kids grow up to be the people that lead others to God, that when people look at your kids and they look at your life and they look at your business and they see God and they give him glory, you want that victory. If you want to see lost people get saved, you need to pray. Not run and hide because things are hard, because the trials are coming, because the enemy is pushing back, because it feels like we're losing ground, because it feels like we're being attacked, because we feel like we're being tempted more and more, and we're giving into temptations more and more, and so we feel like we're a failure, and we feel like we're losing, and we feel like we're not serving God well. That is the moment when the fight is the heaviest, and it's not the middle of the fight that you should go and lie down and fall asleep. It's the middle of the fight that you need to be on your guard most, and that is when we need to be in prayer most. Pray with me. Stay awake and pray with me so that you might not fall into temptation. The worship team is going to come up and they're going to lead us in a few more songs. And over these songs, I want you to be listening to the voice of God, listening to His leading, and I want you, if He's saying you've got to just sing and let these songs be your prayer, then you'll let these songs be your prayer. But if He is putting something on your heart, and maybe He's saying, I want you to go pray with somebody over there, then I want you to get up out of your seat, go sit with them and pray with them. If He's saying, I want you to come up and I want you to physically just put your body in this place of submission and kneel up front here and just surrender this stuff to me and stop holding on to it, then that's what you've got to do. If He's saying you got to go and you just need to be in your seat and you need to talk to me, then that's what you got to do. If you're like, I don't know what to do, I don't know how to pray about this thing, and you want to just gather and you want to lean over and grab a couple people beside you and say, pray with me over this thing, whether it's your job or your family or your marriage or some sin in your life, whatever it is, your finances, maybe it's anxiety or worry, health issues, then I want you to do that. This is our moment to respond. We are in the middle of a fight here. And as a church, we are in the middle of the fight. It's not time to get lazy. It's not time to give up. It's not time to panic. It's time to stay awake and pray.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.